Thank you.
Yes, we should ask.
Mary Hinkle, I'm with the DeKalb Citizens Advocacy Council, representing a multiracial collaboration of citizens groups working to defeat this referendum, including Pride Rings in Stone Mountain, DeKalb Strong, and Concerned Citizens for Effective Government. We do have concerns about this bill, as you well know. Concerns shared by the director of the Emory Center for Ethics, who reviewed the bill and agrees with us that this legislation weakens and dilutes ethics in our county for no apparent reason. We have a copy of this letter back on our table, and all of our materials are also available on our website. My question for all of the delegates tonight is, why was a decision made to make such substantial changes? All you had to do was fix the appointment process as required by the Georgia Supreme Court. But instead, there's a trade-off. We'll give you an ethics board, but we're going to get rid of the ethics officer, and we're going to have the CEO and the Board of Commissioners involved in appointing a person and also reviewing their policies and procedures. And oh, by the way, if you're going to complain about your supervisor, you now need to go through human resources. These are trade-offs that it's not worth having a sham of an ethics board for. So my question is, why were such substantial changes made instead of waiting for the CEO's Charter Commission to review the act, to have public hearings, and to make recommendations for these changes so that we could vote on them knowledgeably? Thank you.
And I would like to thank all of you who are here tonight for taking the time to come, especially knowing that we were all going to be here. So, my name is Pat Killingsworth, and I am a member, or was a member, of the DeKalb County Board of Ethics from February of 2000 through December of 2009. So I can tell you from my own personal experience what a huge difference the legislation in 2015 that was approved by 92% of voters made to the entire process of ethics in DeKalb County. That legislation made it possible for the Board of Ethics to do their job efficiently, effectively, and much of the reason for that was the creation, funding, and staffing of the ethics office. We didn't have anything like that when I was on the board. We were responsible as volunteers, meeting monthly, to handle all of the investigation, to handle all of the work that now the ethics board is charged with doing, which makes it possible for the ethics office, the Board of Ethics, to do what they do now that the ethics office is there to do it. This is where my concern particularly comes in. In the most recent article in the AJC by Bill Torpy, it became clear that the primary motivation, and this is my take on it, obviously, but the primary motivation for behind Senate Bill 7 and the way that it turned out wasn't simply that the constitutional requirements of appointing members, you know, to the ethics board needed to be done. The original version of SB 7 would have done it, the one that was sent over from the Senate to the House, right? But it seems that the primary purpose was to downgrade the authority of the ethics office and to remove the current ethics officer from her position. I want to point out, and I think it's important for everybody to know, that in the current law, right now, there is a method to remove an ethics officer for cause. It can be done right now, but nobody's taken the time to do that. Short follow-up. No one's filed a complaint, even though CEO Thurman has made a statement that he thinks that the current ethics offer is overreached. Representative Vernon Jones has gone through several court proceedings trying to remove the ethics officer unsuccessfully. And it's, you know, it's become something that it appears that the legislature is being used to do something that should have been done or could be done appropriately through the Code of Ethics right now. So I'm standing here to address the fact that the Ethics Office and Board of Ethics, DeKalb County government, and its citizens are going to suffer a major setback if what amounts to, you know, to achieving a more ethical government for what amounts to what sounds like a vendetta. And it's just not appropriate. I don't think that's what y'all did. I don't think that that's the intent that everybody had, and I'm not suggesting that, but that's the way it comes across. And what I would like to ask you is, will you take care of this in the next session? Will you simply pass what needs to be passed in order to get our Board of Ethics up and running again? Thank you very much.
Hello, and thank you for being here tonight, even though the original session was canceled. My name is Mary Jo Duncanson. I'm sorry if that was not accurate. I have concerns about ethics in DeKalb County and have for a long time. And one of my concerns right now is that the general voter, if they are coming out for this special election, really doesn't know much about this bill. And many will see ethics for DeKalb County and say, oh, yes, I want that. And then it'll be passed. So I have two questions, actually. First is, what happens if the bill is rejected, if the referendum comes out no? Second, just who is it who wanted to weaken the ethics matters in DeKalb County? Who?
Everybody
knows.
It's an untold secret.
Okay, apparently it's an open secret, but I haven't heard just who it is. I mean, is it just Republicans? Is it just the Republicans in the state house? Will nobody say?
Is it Mary Jo?
Mary Jo, yes.
Mary Jo, we're going to answer all of you all at the end. So you can just, we're taking notes for your questions.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, Jerry Jackson, I am the admin of Reform DeKalb. But you know, when I stand up here and speak, I can't speak for everybody in Reform DeKalb because I have members on each side of this issue. Many of them know more about this issue than I do. But one thing I do know is that the ethics, and I supported Michael Thurman for CEO. I thought he would do a much better job than he's done here in DeKalb County, but no, he has not. It's been a great disappointment to me. And the failure begins right at the phone to his office. And as far as our board of commissioners, often, in fact, I think once tonight I pointed to the mission statement and everything here on the wall. And I think our DeKalb board of commissioners need to look at it a little bit closer. And when we start talking about turning over these ethics appointments and different things to our CEO and our board of commissioners, that scares me. When we have a CEO that stands and says publicly that he has no problem with department heads in DeKalb County accepting gifts, I got a big problem with that. Now, a lot of people mentioned to me out here tonight how unhappy they were with several department heads in DeKalb County and the way they were treated. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to roads and maintenance and the oversight of these contractors in DeKalb County, somebody's getting more in favors in a free lunch, I can tell you that. We just had Flat Shoals Road completely repaved, one lane up, from Cavill Road on one end all the way to the other into Walmart. One lane completely because previous contractors were not supervised in laying down this water pipe and doing the bedding work and all. And if you drove up and down Flat Shoals Road, and saw all those potholes and everything and hit them, well, then you know what I'm talking about. That cost us a lot of money to do the rebed. They had to go in and rebed that and repave it. And I was told by COO Zach Williams that we went past the point of no return or too long to go against those contractors. And if you look at all this work that's been done on Glenwood, and I rode up and down Glenwood, I couldn't tell you how many times with all this sidewalk work and everything going on, not one time have I seen the Cap County supervisors on the job watching this work. Thanks so much, everybody.
I'm Lynn Gamm. I've been a resident of DeKalb County for longer than most of you in this room have been alive. And I've seen a lot of ups and downs and ethics in DeKalb County. This is sort of a stream of consciousness statement that I'm making. First, I want to emphasize the fact that in 2015, 92% of the citizens of DeKalb voted for the current ethics bill that we have now. Turned out that there was a little glitch in the appointment process, but 92% of us wanted a strong ethics bill. The question was asked earlier about what the ethics board will do if this bill is defeated. The ethics board will not be able to vote on cases because it does not have a quorum of members, but the ethics officer can continue to educate, consult with, advise, and generally help employees in the county understand what ethical behavior is and answer questions that they might have about whether they're being asked to do things that are unethical. And finally, I'd like to ask a question that relates to the list of questions that we sent to you folks, and that is, what was the reasoning behind adding a requirement that the policies and procedures adopted by the Board of Ethics be subject to review by the CEO and confirmation by the Board of Commissioners? They are covered by the Code of Ethics. Why do they have, should they have the authority to review the policies and procedures? This requirement file applies in the face of the law, which is also in the current law. It requires that the Board of Ethics shall be completely independent and shall not be subject to control or supervision by the chief executive, the commission, or any other official or employee or agency of the county government. This doesn't make sense to have both statements, and this is also in the proposed bill. Thank you.
Martha Gross again, I'll be brief. I'd like to recommend, I know most of you voted against this ethics bill, which we all spoke out against, but I'd like to recommend in the future, if there's a bill like this, any referendum, can there be an impartial group that looks at the wording of the referendum? Because I've never seen a referendum that didn't try to steer the voters. And I think it's critical not to steer the voters, get them to pay attention. If you have to tell them, like, baby steps, oh, this is really good for you, please vote yes, then that you're not doing anybody a service. It should be kind of objectively stated, here it is, if you don't understand it, go look it up before you vote. Thank you. So, is there anybody else that would like to speak?
Hello, my name is Viola Davis, and I am the state representative for House District 87. I decided to go first because of what I have been doing for 15 to 20 years. I am, or continue to be, a community missionary, an activist, and a government watchdog. For me, that is a ministry that has been for over 15 to 20 years. Some of you are asking why A number of things have been done with this ethics legislation. But let me ask right quick, how many of you feel that really the only thing that needs to be done is that the we should only correct the appointment process? Just raise your hand. It's more or less about half. How many, just think of the ones who did agree with that. How many of you think that employees should be able to get gift cards from contractors that are bidding for contracts? How many of you agree with that? See, that's not even in the bill, in the legislation. So in the next session, that is one thing that we need to correct. And the reason I say that is because if you go look at some of the ethics complaints, they have my name on it. And I won't even go into how many people we have written up for P cards, gift cards. As an activist, we wrote up the CEO and the entire board of commissioners. Go look it up. Now they're gonna tell you that they dismissed the case. But before you look at that, you'll find that they paid the money back, the ones that we called, paid the money back, and after they paid the money back, then they dismissed the case. The case on Elaine Boyer, Commissioner Elaine Boyer, has my name on it. The case with Commissioner Sharon Barnes Sutton, I'm sorry. It also has my name on it. It was a coalition. And let me tell you, a lot of the whistleblowers that stepped forward to expose wrongdoing, malfeasance, and alleged criminal activity, as a ministry, we said we will not allow any of those whistleblowers to get on that front line without somebody holding their hand and supporting you. Because I myself am a VA whistleblower, and I know the suffering you go through when you step on that front line. Now, for a number of you, you say, oh, that went real fast. But the ethics bill has been out of commission for over 2 years.
The ethics board.
I mean the ethics legislation board, as far as the board, has been out of operation for over 2 years. I'm saying to you, a number of you don't get to see the suffering I see. A lot of these whistleblowers have lost their jobs. They cannot support their families. A lot of them are blackballed. They can't even think about getting another job anywhere. They have to leave the state. Their marriages, they lost their homes. When you get on that front line, you are looking for whatever you can to help you through that darkness of suffering. And your only vice was the fact that you stepped up to tell the truth and expose wrongdoing. A number of you would say that I am weak on ethics. But you show me somebody who did it for over 15 to 20 years without pay and endured the retaliation of a lot of those whistleblowers. I voted for that, and I want you to understand why. Because ethics for me is a light. As a veteran, they put us on the hill, and they wanted to show us how the power of a light. And in the back, they went from close proximity to way back 2 miles. They would flash a bright light, then they would flash a little pin light. They wanted to show us how a light gives away your position. For a lot of those whistleblowers that I have active cases with today, they needed that light, because for them, that light was hope. I have an action plan if it fails. I have an action plan if it passes. But I hope that each one of you understand what I did for those whistleblowers that have lost everything. They did not get as good as Commissioner Elaine Boyer. And she went to jail.
It's a $2,000 a month pension for the DeKalb County.
Thank you, everyone, so much for being here. I'm Senator Elaine Parent, and just wanted to weigh in a little bit on a couple of the questions that were posed. Why the decision was made to change so much? There, anytime you go through the legislative process, for good, better and for worse, and the way we do things, sometimes it does end up for worse because we have a truncated session where everyone is racing to try to pass something, get their bill through. There's committee conversations, there's backroom conversations, there's this, there's that. In my opinion, we should do business very differently at the General Assembly. I've always felt that way. I'm not in charge. For local legislation, the process can be even worse in some ways because committee hearings really aren't necessitated at all. For general legislation, they would be more de rigueur, although even that can be bypassed with some creativity. Some of those who have been in the legislature far longer than I that sit up here can comment on how it was and legislation was passed back when the Republicans were in charge. When the Democrats were in charge. I've only been here within the last decade. As I said, this isn't how I would do business. On the other hand, I do want to say that nothing that I observed in the passage of this bill was outside what I have seen happen many, many, many times on many pieces of legislation of little import and of great import. And sometimes that's why you frequently hear talk of cleanup bills, because we rush things through sometimes, we ran them through. There is no doubt more pieces of legislation that we have to come back and tweak. I mean, you hear these things constantly, and it's sort of a byproduct of some of the way we do business. So I don't want anyone in this room to think that the process was as nefarious as maybe some people think it was, because it does seem that way. But I do want to tell you that while I dislike that process greatly, it is not an uncommon way for business to be done, and changes would certainly in some ways have to come from the top of our state leaders to have legislation be approached in a more transparent and thoughtful way across the board. And that is one thing I've pushed for. I've pushed for sort of bringing us into the modern era as far as committee hearings and legislation. Other states will have it where any legislation and all documents presented to the committees are online. You can submit comments as a citizen through their website portals. Have that also be considered the record of the legislation that's before the committee. We don't do any of that. We did just this last year start to live stream Senate committee hearings. That would not be the case for local legislation yet, but the House has live streamed for many years. The Senate finally just started. One other thing I want to talk about before I let some of my other colleagues weigh in. The question is posed, what happens if this referendum is defeated? I'll tell you, from where I sit, there are certain things about this legislation that are not my favorite, that I would rather see, I would rather have not seen changed. I'm not a big fan of the HR hang-up, particularly the requirement to go to HR, particularly with no time limit on HR to evaluate before it could go to ethics. That makes me nervous that there's no time limit on that. I would be more open to it if there were a time limit. I'm not particularly excited about the commission and CEO having an appointment or being able to look at the bylaws. I like the ethics officer being highly credentialed. It's already been mentioned, but certainly some of the chatter about why, there has been controversy. I've certainly heard from more than one person that there's a belief out there, via more than one person, that the current ethics officer is overreached. That's already been said, but I'll go ahead and say it again. Here's the thing, though. Right now, we don't have an ethics board that can vote on anything. So you could make the argument, and to me it is a fair argument, that it would be better to pass it, have the ethics board work, and then try to make changes later. If the vote goes down, there is no ethics board. And you can see where some of the legislators up there would have taken that into consideration when we cast our votes. there are very fair arguments the other way, and they've already been made. We demand something really strong. We like the strong ethics officer. If you're going to send us, meaning the voters, this, we say no. Fair enough. I'm also trying to present, tell you that there will not, if it does go down, we may be able to get more what's in line with your desires, and certainly mine. However, it will be 2 years, probably, before, I think so. Well, the charter review, well, if, okay, I'll let them weigh in. In my estimation, it will be 18 months to 2 years before we can get the ethics board up and running. That's my best guess.
I'm Mary Margaret again. I want to be practical about this dispute about the ethics. I voted against the bill. It was a 7-6 vote, and it's been controversial since then. I have a sticker against it, I have a yard sign against it, I'm against the bill, period. Now, here's the practical reality. We have an ethics officer who's highly credentialed, who is working and doing investigations and education and functioning. We have one issue that we need to correct in order to make the board fully functioning. The bill that passed the Senate unanimously when it came through only addressed the appointment process. I think y'all all know that. And when it came to the House, in my view, speaking for myself, we messed it up. And the back and forth of the House and Senate didn't correct some things that many of us wanted to correct. We can only have leverage to move forward to a strong ethics commission and board if we defeat this referendum on November 5th. If we defeat the referendum on November 5th, we, the people who want to continue to have a strong ethics office and board, can come back in January with leverage, address the appointment process, address the issue of a referendum where there's controversy, and perhaps not have to have a referendum, and perhaps get a bill to the governor about February 2020. There's a little bit of controversy about that, and we've got legislative counsel with helping. But as a practical matter, if you're against Senate Bill 7, please vote no. Please ask your neighbors to vote no. And defeat the referendum so we can have some leverage coming into January for a clean bill that Senator Jones originally introduced and passed the Senate that only deals with the appointment process, which was the only issue that the Georgia Supreme Court addressed. If you'd like to help continue to have a strong ethics officer and a strong board, vote no on Senate Bill 7.
Good evening, everyone. I'm State Representative Doreen Carter. I represent House District 92. I represent parts of DeKalb and Rockville. How many of you know that when Emory was annexed into the city of Atlanta, that there was an agreement not to couple the school district? How many of you all know that? How many of you all know that on the day of the vote in the city of Atlanta, they voted to couple the district? How many of you know that DeKalb County School District lost $2.5 million in revenue because of that? Fewer hands. How many of you all know that not only did SB 7 pass, but SB 53 passed? Who doesn't know what SB 53 is? And that breaks my heart. SB 53 was the bill that we worked diligently to pass to ensure that there was a process when annexation happened in DeKalb County, when there were two independent school districts involved. You know what happened to that bill that was passed by the House and the Senate? Our governor vetoed it. I personally love your drive. I love how you guys are fighting for this ethics bill. I wish you had fought for our children. Now here's where some disagreement on this bill. I really don't understand why some of my fellow delegation members want to insinuate that there were backdoor deals or somebody cut something. Personally, it's offensive because we all work really, really hard. And the question, why was the bill amended? You know what keeps popping up in my head? Why do we have to have an abortion ban bill? So there are bills that come through the legislature that we have to have hearings on. We make amendments to it. We figure out how to make it work or if it shouldn't work, and then we advocate. But one of the things we should not do when we don't agree, we should not comfort each other the way I've seen it. It's disgraceful. Now, the bill. I've heard you say that employees cannot file an ethics complaint. The bill says to exhaust human resource issues. What we heard, let me not speak for anyone else. What I heard in the hearing from the ethics folk said that when a human resource bill comes to the ethics commission, they send it back. So for me, as a logical person, if they are truly human resource issues, why not resolve them in human resources? I don't think there's not either one of us, whether we voted for or against this bill, wants any employee's right abused. None of us are saying that. And that is not the intent of that language in that bill, from my perspective, what I read. The other thing that I've heard you all talk about was the policy that the commission should draft. Well, from what I understand, is if the commissioners don't approve it, it still automatically goes into effect. The other issue in that bill that talks about the having an administrator versus an officer. Probably about 80% of that role is administrative. So you really do not need an attorney to do some of the education. The bill does not have language that says you cannot have an ethics officer. The board will be the ones to set that budget. The board will determine what staffing they need. So what I believe we've done, we put the power in the hands of the commission board. We may not agree, but that's what I see. We need a strong commission board because they're the ones that will be governing as it relates to others' employees. And so for whatever reason, we read the same thing, but we don't necessarily agree. I'm gonna encourage you all to read SB 7. Don't read any more of those articles because they're slanted. And it's how we do, we were very respectful. So one of the things we always do, when it's politics, and I'm learning more and more, you have policy and you have politics. And unfortunately, the politics has found its way into this bill. On November the 5th, you get to vote. You can vote yes, you can vote no. And we're gonna be good either way you decide. We've done our job, we presented some legislation, it's gonna be on the ballot. If you say no, then we go back to the drawing board. If you say yes, we still go to the drawing board and do some amendments. I want to thank you for allowing me to share with you. I'm not going to tell you which way to vote. I want to encourage you to read the bill for yourself. And then you make a decision for yourself on November 5th, or whether you vote early, whether to say yes or no. And whatever you all decide, we're going to go back to work, and I'm going to challenge my colleagues because the commitment we made you all was that we were going to get in a room and we were going to sit down together and we were going to address issues that relate to the CAB so that we could figure out how to best support you. And that's my goal. It's nothing personal. I looked at the bill because they brought it to me just like I do any other bill. Thank you.
What's best for the people? You got to read the bill and decide for yourself.
I just have a couple of quick comments. I'm Representative Shannon, House District 84. I just want to say it has been, so I appreciate the interest in this bill. Obviously, we want folks to be engaged in what is going on. But it is really disappointing that, you know, people are, instead of chopping this up to, there are different ways to have an ethics board, because that's what this is about. A lot of this is opinion on whether or not you feel like this is the best way to set up an ethics board. Instead of chalking it up to a difference of opinion, folks have said, like Representative Oliver, that this boils down to whether or not you want a strong ethics board. I mean, I think that's kind of ridiculous that, you know, anybody feels like they have a monopoly on ethics in DeKalb and wanting strong ethics in DeKalb. That's not where we should be on this issue. There were issues with the original ethics bill that were wrong. That was my first year in session. I had issues with that. I had an issue with the groups. Turns out I was right. The original bill also did not have any way for members to recuse themselves if they had a conflict of interest. There was also no way to add in new folks if folks were unable to continue to serve on the ethics board, which could have left the ethics board at a standstill. So no bill is perfect. It's kind of back to what Senator Parent said. You come out with a bill, and I'm not saying this is a bad bill whatsoever. I supported this bill, voted for this bill. Almost everybody in the Senate voted for it, with the exception of Senator Harrell. And most folks in the House did vote for this bill. There will be changes to the bill. If the bill does pass, and I agree with her, it probably would take about 2 years to get another bill, because at the end of the day, you have to have buy-in from everybody when it comes to passing any bill. But I am disappointed that much of what has been the opinion of some of the representatives who seem to feel like they have a monopoly on wanting strong ethics in DeKalb has been printed as fact by the AJC. And it's just not true. There are many ways to set up an ethics board. I continue to hear things that are completely incorrect about this bill. Read the bill for yourself. Because if you read it for yourself, some of the things that you're saying are just not true about the bill.
I'll say something briefly. My name is Representative Becky Evans, and I'm the representative for House District 83. And I was one of the representatives that voted against the bill in the committee and on the floor. And it was a big decision for me to decide whether or not to come out publicly and talk about this this issue, because I really respect all of my colleagues on the delegation, and I know it was a hard decision. So I agree with what Representative Carter was saying earlier, is that the decision is really up to you, and I would like to ask my delegation members to commit that we will, whatever the voters decide, we will make work. If the bill is defeated, then we need to work together as a delegation to come up with new legislation that can easily, you know, that can be passed. We need to take that vote from the voters and still find a way to constitute the ethics board. And I will ask my colleagues to work for us to work together on that. If the bill is passed, I will still ask my colleagues for us to work together to amend the bill. And we need to talk through and have a real discussion about how to do that. And that's something that we haven't had that opportunity really to do. Every meeting is a public meeting among our delegation. Chair Drinker calls a meeting and that is a public meeting. And so we haven't really had a time, you know, to sit together, in my opinion, to really talk through this issue. And so I think we can take that time. The referendum will tell us how we need to act, and I am committed to working with my colleagues to either way, if the bill is defeated, to come up with how we can make the appointments, and if it passes, if we can agree on some changes to the bill. The one other thing I would just say about the whole thing about the policies and procedures going to the Board of Commissioners, it is true there's a timeline. The Board of Commissioners doesn't approve it, there's a time limit. But what if the Board of Commissioners says, we want you to change this policy? Okay, then they have to change it, takes them, then we want you to change this policy. I mean, the problem is, there really needs to be a red line between the Board of Commissioners and CEO and the Subject Board. Red line.
I want to just make a quick statement. Despite voting for, I am a strong supporter of the ethics officer. And you have to understand, I have a dog in the fight. I still have about 3 or 4 cases up there that are still going on. I just had one of my vendors file a criminal charge of forgery. So I want you to know the evidence was more on the side of the administrator because there had not been any active indictments or any solid charges of any criminal activity. So it's different now.
Well, I'm going to be very quick and very brief since we're approaching 8 o'clock, and I'm Michelle Henson. I think the only thing I want to add to everything that's been said here is the fact that if this is defeated, that the bill, we could come forth, introduce a new bill in January, pass it. If it needs a referendum, we have the opportunity to do that referendum in March. We don't have to wait longer. Remember, we have a presidential primary. All the polls will be open in DeKalb County, and that would be a good time to move forward if we need to have a referendum. And again, that's a question that's up in the air, but, you know, likewise, there's also the vote that's, we don't know what will happen come November. I thank you very much for coming, presenting your points of view, and joining us in this conversation.
I'll be very brief. I'm Matthew Wilson. I represent parts of Brookhaven, Chamblee, and Sandy Springs. I voted against this bill when it came through the committee. I voted against it on the House floor, and I'm going to vote against it. I've already voted against it. I voted early. To me, you know, I'm not casting aspersions on anyone who supports the bill, but to me, I think about there's this very delicate balance when you're talking about creating essentially a police force to govern elected officials, because you, the people, elect us, and there are some constitutional constraints on how much an outside, unelected group of people can constrain us as elected officials. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be held accountable to an ethics board, though. I think about this, I look at the state ethics board and look at the history of that. We used to have a somewhat strong state ethics board, but the legislature took more and more and more and more power away from the ethics board. Now, they're not even allowed to call themselves a state ethics board anymore, because the only thing they are even allowed to police is campaign finance. And to me, I look at this, and especially when you have a county like DeKalb County that's been around for a long time, has seen a lot of good actors, a lot of bad actors. You have a lot of mistrust among citizens, particularly citizens that I represent, with the county. I think that we need to be very careful about the board that we constitute and the authority that we give them, and how we balance that authority with the county. And when you look at allowing the commission to approve policies or procedures, vote down policies or procedures, as Representative Evans pointed out, that could be an eternal cycle where they just never approve the policies and procedures of this group and keep this group in limbo for forever. And when you require county employees to have to go through HR, that opens itself up to an intimidation process. That was just too much for me. So that's why I voted no against this.
Okay. We are past the top of the hour. My name is Carla Drenner. Thank all of you for coming out tonight. It's interesting to me that
All of us support expanding Medicaid. All of us up here support ending hate crimes. All of us up here do not have the same perspective on the ethics bill. However, what I will say to each of you that are here tonight is that we are committed to working with you, and we are committed to working with each other to improve bills are works in progress, and we are here to help make progress and make the best DeKalb County that we all can live in. Thank you all, and for those of you that are coming to Brookhaven next week, I will see you then. Thank you all.